My pleasure today now to introduce your keynote speaker this morning. Dr. Mark Jobe is the president of Moody Bible Institute. Many of you know his history to some degree, but if you're unfamiliar, let me just share a small portion before he takes the stage. He's the son of missionaries. He grew up in a small rural village in Spain, gave his life to Christ at the age of 17, at 15 rather, and by 17, however, he decided to leave his small rural village in Spain to come where? To Chicago. He wanted to be a student at where else? Moody Bible Institute. Yes, exactly. So we see how this goes. But by 21, he was pastoring a small congregation in the inner city of Chicago. And then now, for more than 30 years, Dr. Jobe and his wife, Dee, he served as the lead and founding pastor of New Life Community Church, and he and his wife have seen that church grow, growing from just a handful of people to approximately 7,000 people now who are meeting at 27 different locations throughout the Chicagoland area and actually in 8 cities internationally as well. He is also the founder of New Life Centers. That's an organization focused on helping youth in the underserved areas of our city. Would you please welcome this morning Dr. Mark Jobe.
Good morning. What a pleasure to be here. How many of you listen to Moody Radio? Yeah, there's quite a few of you that listen to Moody Radio. Well, I have a program every Sunday at 9 o'clock, and it's a preaching message, so it's getting people ready before the message. And a couple came up to me this past week, and they said, you know what? We were fighting on our way to church the entire time. We went into the parking lot, and we were fighting. And she said, we turned on the radio in the parking lot, and she said, we heard your message. And she said, we were so convicted. I said, great. So what happened? Did you, like, cry, repent, and go to church? She said, no, we stayed mad at each other and went home. So it doesn't always have the effect that I want it to have. I tell you what, let me tell you a quick story as I jump into this. I had to go down to Tijuana, Mexico to really learn the importance of what it means to be a government official. I was speaking at a conference in San Diego, California, and I was with some people that had never been to Mexico, and so they said, hey, can we go down to Mexico and grab a bite to eat? We're right by the border. I said, sure. I went to rent a car. And the car agency told me, they said, be careful, because a week ago, someone rented a car, went down in Mexico, the police there stopped them, had them get out of the car, got in their car, and drove off and left them on the side of the road. So be very careful with the police in Tijuana. So I said, okay. So we drove down to Mexico. I was driving, had a couple couples in the back seat. On my way back, someone said, hey, there's a police behind us in a motorcycle. I laughed and then looked in the mirror, and sure enough. So I subtly switched lanes, and he did as well. And before I know it, his lights were on, and he was pulling me off to the side of the street. And I said, oh, no. The car started panicking. They said, he's going to take our vehicle, leave us stranded. So I stopped the car. He came, dark sunglasses, revolver in his holster. I rolled down the window. I do speak Spanish, and so he said, hey, it's a little too dangerous here. Pull in that alley up there. And we said, here it goes. So I pulled up in the alley. They're panicking in the car. I leave the car on, and he comes up to me again. And he says, you know, you were going too fast. You switched lanes. I said, officer, I don't remember that. He said, I'm going to have to take you down to the police headquarters. I said, well, can't you just write a ticket? No. I felt like he wanted me to give him some money, and he kept kind of prolonging. And then he says, what do you do? Why are you here? I said, I'm a pastor. I was at a conference. I came down to Mexico. He looked at me, dark sunglasses, revolver, stern face, and he said to me, what does Romans 13 say? Well, two thoughts went through my mind. What in the world does Romans 13 say, first of all? Hey, I'm a pastor. I don't have the whole Bible memorized. Come on. And then secondly, this is not like Awana where you get a patch if you say the verse. If I don't say it right, I go to jail. I'm like... struggling a little bit, and I told him, well, Romans 12:1 says, do not be conformed to this world. He said, Romans 13. And I thought, and then it struck me, it's what Lewis read earlier. Submit yourself to the governing authorities, for they are servants of God. As soon as I told him that, he took off his sunglasses, started calling me pastor, and then he pulled up his motorcycle beside me and has said, pastor, pray for the police department in Tijuana, and then he left. But I'll never forget Romans 13. And I do believe the message that those of you, I know that not all of you serve. I don't know. Some of you are here because it's DuPage. Some of you are here because it's Christmas. Some of you are here because it's prayer. And some of you are here because it's breakfast, I guess. But if you are a governing official, I do want to say thank you for the work that you do. It is a difficult task and a oftentimes very unappreciated task. And I recall those words. As I was praying about what I should share today, I had several thoughts go through my mind, but I try to pray and be sensitized to the Spirit of God to say, Lord, is there someone that needs a word from you today? And so my connection is not always 100%, but I try to be led of the Spirit. And so I felt like I needed to share out of this passage briefly. There's a story found in 1 Kings chapter 19 about a man, an iconic figure. We know him as the prophet Elijah. He's not a little prophet. I mean, this guy made it to the Mount of Transfiguration. That's pretty hard to get to. He called fire down from heaven. He raised the dead. He was fed by sparrows. He didn't die like the rest of us mortal die. He was taken up into heaven in chariots of fire. So we view him as this spiritual hero of faith. Yet he goes through a season of his life that I've discovered is common to many of us. He goes through a season of his life where he questions his calling. He's discouraged by the outcome, disappointed in the culture, and wondering if his leadership even really makes a difference or if his leadership even matters. This prophet, we know him in the times of victory, but we often forget that there's times of deep discouragement. And this is a moment in his life where he's stuck. He's exhausted, he's tired, he's lost hope. He doesn't have that faith that he had before. And maybe I'm speaking to someone here today that you say, I wear a smile on the outside, but inside I'm very discouraged. He ends up in a cave. And in 1 Kings chapter 19... after traveling 40 days to get to this cave and actually being suicidal because he says, God, take my life. It's not worth living anymore. He ends up in a cave of isolation, discouragement, a cave in which he says, I don't want to hear anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to try to change anything anymore. People are too stubborn. It's too hard. His heart is full of fear. There's a darkness that's invaded that place that one time was full of hope. There's possibility of change, a brighter future, that's been replaced by a darkness of his soul. It sapped his energy. He's done with it. Ever been there? Well, I have. Ever been in that cave? And it's interesting, I don't have time to get into the whole passage and everything that happens, but it tells us in verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 19, there he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What's God going to say to this man in the cave? What is he going to speak? I mean, this is an iconic moment. This is a moment that someone listens up. I picture Elijah in a fetal position in the crevices of that cave, just not wanting to hear anybody, exhausted and tired and depressed. And here's what God says to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, how many of you know that when God asks a question, it's because he doesn't know the answer? I mean, so you know that when God asks a question, it's rhetorical in the sense he's causing Elijah to go on a journey of self-examination. What is it that has led you here? Why have you reached the point of losing faith? What has led you to this place of darkness and desperation? So to get out of the cave, he had to stop and answer the question of how he ended up in the cave. And I would argue that some of us have to look at our journey. What is it that's happened in your journey? What is that moment in which suddenly there was a turn? What is the disappointment, the disillusionment? What is the hurt? What have you neglected that has allowed your soul to become darker and darker? What is it that's led you to the cave? Elijah tries to answer that question filled with a lot of complaints and self-pity, and God really takes him to the next journey. He has the equivalent of a earthquake and wind and fire, sounds like a music group. And he has this display on the outside, and he says, but God is not in it. And then while Elijah's in the cave, he hears this, well, it's interesting how the Hebrew describes it. It's almost like this whisper, this quiet sound of a little wind that's blowing, and it's barely perceptible, barely heard, but God is in it. How many of you know that it's not always in the dramatic moments that God speaks the loudest? It's really not always in the earthquake or the sign from heaven. It's not always in the display in the universe. It's not always a miraculous awakening. Sometimes we have to realize that God has been speaking all along. It's just that we haven't been listening. And it's actually that whisper that draws Elijah out of the cave to the mouth of the cave, and God is able to deal with him in a fresh new way. I recall that I was speaking in Spain one time, and they had asked me to speak at this event in the heart of Valladolid, which was a place in Spain, and I spoke to a group of several hundred people in Spanish, and I was talking to them a little bit about opening up their ears and listening. And I when the event finished, I was walking down the street, and this guy came chasing me down the street. In Spanish, they called me Marcos, and he was saying, Marcos, 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 Marcos. And I stopped, and I said, yeah. He said, I have to talk to you. He said, I believe in God. He said, but God has never spoken to me. Would you pray that God would speak to me? And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, no. He said, why not? I said, I can't fathom being a father and never, never speaking to my child. As a father, of course I'll speak to my child. Now, I have to tell you, sometimes my child, they're not listening. They're distracted. Or I'm speaking, and I said, I cannot believe that the God of the universe that loves you, that created you, that made you, is not speaking to you. I'm not going to ask that God would speak to you. I'm going to ask that you, whatever is not allowing you to hear his voice, whatever's not allowing you to hear what he's trying to tell you, I'm going to ask that your ears would be unplugged and that you, for the first time, would hear the God that is actually speaking to you. Elijah, through the whisper, It says in verse 12, and after the earthquake came the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after came the gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave because he had to quiet down enough to be still enough to hear the whisper of God. And then this is what God told him. When he finally listened to Elijah, God said to him in verse 15, and the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. He had to go back to the painful path and deal with the unresolved issues in his life. Listen, what God told him is don't run from your problems. You know those things that you fear most? Face them. You know those things that are unresolved in your life? Can I tell you something? Can I just speak into your life? Can I be blunt and honest? I've been a pastor for 30 years, and I've sat down with very, very high people of power, and I've sat down with gangbangers in the city of Chicago. And I'll tell you, we have something in common. We like to run from our problems. And what happens in your private life affects your public life. Don't ever believe that you can keep them separated, that there's a great dichotomy between your private life and your public life. Just like a pastor, if my heart grows withered up and dry, it comes out in the pulpit. It is reflected in my relationships with people. And listen, no matter what area you serve in, if your soul has dried up and withered, if your spirit is discouraged, it will spill out into what you do. No doubt about it. And I've discovered over the years that what dries us up the most, what withers us up the most, is oftentimes those issues that we know we need to deal with, but we haven't. It's that person we need to forgive that we've resisted. It's that bitterness against a spouse that we just are too proud to deal with. It's that addiction that we keep a secret that really bothers us. It's that prodigal son or daughter that we haven't spoken to, but yet it's eating us up inside. It's those issues that we fear, that we run from, that we have not dealt with. And listen, you get very exhausted when you drag something you shouldn't be dragging for a long period of time. And it may not be the work that you're doing that exhausts you. It may be the undealt issues that you have that's exhausting you that shows up in other areas of life. God said to Elijah, go back where you came. In other words, go back and face your problems. Stop running. And lastly, I'll finish with this. And you know when a preacher, especially an inner city preacher, says, "With lastly, I finish with this," that means another 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to finish on time. God told him, basically, go back. And in essence, I don't have time to break down the passage, but in essence, he told him, release the leadership outside of the areas of your calling. You can't do everything, he told him. So he got an apprentice named Elisha, and he released delegation to two kings because Elijah was operating outside of his calling. Can I tell you, what will exhaust you the most, send you to the cave oftentimes, is that you try to be what God hasn't called you to be. You try to take on leadership responsibilities that God never called you to take on. There are certain things that you have to give to God that you are not in charge of. And come to realization, I cannot control that. I cannot change that person. That is not my calling. I have to stick to what God has called me to do. I close with this. As we approach the Christmas season, for some of you, you'll gather around family gatherings that will be tense, that won't be full of laughter. You'll avoid people in the room. Some of you look to the holidays, and they're not this bright, cheery holidays. They're like the dark chapter of a wonderful life, not the ending of it. And I just want to challenge you at this time, regardless of where you're at in your spiritual walk today, could I challenge you to listen to the voice of God? Could I challenge you to remember that you have a call? Could I challenge you to get out of the cave and into the calling that God has for you. Christmas is all about that. Jesus came with a purpose and a mission, not just to be a good example, all God becoming all man. Yeah, he was birthed in a manger, but his ultimate mission was the cross, to die on our behalf so that we could be reconciled, sinful man, to a holy God. I believe that you have a call and a purpose for your life. And my challenge today is get out of the cave and embrace the calling that God has for you. Can I pray? Father, I pray for these men and women. Thank you for who they are and what they do. I pray for that person right now that is absolutely discouraged, thinking about quitting their public service and maybe their private service. I pray, God, would you breathe renewal into their soul? Would you allow them to be quiet enough to hear your voice? Would you build faith where there's just emptiness here? Would you let them know, God, that you hear and that you speak and that you have a purpose and a plan for them? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.